on this week's show.
And I watch Safe on Netflix.
My safe word is pineapple juice. You there?
And my safe word is pineapple juice.
And my safe word, like Bruce Wayne, is Martha.
Martha, why did you say that name?
And it's time for
Trailer Watch.
And we believe that Kathleen Kennedy has left the Star Wars franchise. So stay tuned. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, Lego people, Spider-Men, Predators, and soon-to-be-fired executives of franchises. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, I have my friend Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
What up? Hello. Hiya. Howdy.
How are we doing?
Yeah, all right. I think everyone's infected with hay fever, and I've never had it before. And I think maybe because I haven't had it before, I've been hit hard. And I don't know.
Well, I'm
just going round, man.
Yeah, I'm just feeling genuinely run down at the moment. So I think that's just because I've had a busy week. Right. So in this week's podcast. Yeah. We will be talking about the Netflix drama Safe, featuring Michael C. Hall. And then we'll go into what we lovingly refer to as Trailer Watch, where we talk about the Bumblebee trailer, the Into the Spider-Verse trailer, the Lego Movie 2 trailer, and the 10-foot fucking tall Predator, which was shown during the NBA final but not released anywhere else trailer. And then we're going to have a chat about what's happening with Star Wars. So, Safe. I watched Safe. I found it the most disturbing TV show that I've ever seen, and I had to switch off. And it had nothing to do with the content, and everything to do with Michael C. Hall's faux Estuary accent. And I have an Estuary accent, so I know that it's fucking wrong.
Oh, great. Burgers.
It seems like it's meant to be set in a suburban area, out of London, probably towards Windsor Way, near where the Queen lives and where Royal Ascot is and all that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
where it's meant to be.
It's the Thames Estuary area. That's why I said about the Estuary accent.
Well, I thought what I'd do is I'd explain what that might be for people in the US.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry,
I may not have heard of the Thames.
I forgot. I thought you were explaining it to me. Oh, I thought, I know this. I live here.
Yeah.
I can throw a rock at.
I can live.
I can throw a rock at the Queen's house if I choose to.
Yeah.
I don't don't live like opposite again.
Exactly.
Windsor Castle or anything, but
yeah.
I have to go.
Next door.
I have to get in the car and drive a bit.
Though, to be fair, I am a little bit closer.
Yeah, but
into Royal Ascot.
But I think if you drew ley lines around the studios in this area, I think I live dead centre between Shepperton, Pinewood, and Lyne and Longcross, which is a little
Longcross,
bit of a matter. Yeah, that's mad.
Because Longcross is, of course, where we know that part of the film was. Which film was it? Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi. Yeah, it was
so,
filmed there.
Yeah, and that's right. I drive past that when I come into your house. So, Safe. Yes. The first time I heard Michael C. Hall with this dodgy accent, I was sitting there thinking, is he actually meant to be English or is he meant to be a little bit weird? I don't know. Yeah, I think if you can look past the accent, he's all right. Although, one of my initial thoughts was, because of the funny accent, and the last program I saw him in was Dexter, with his miraculous escape, I thought maybe he's no longer a lumberjack and he's moved to the UK, set himself up as a little bit of a surgeon, and made a new life for himself. You know, he's stayed with the scalpel, and he's living the dream over here in the UK in a gated community where he's nice and safe. So, obviously that's wrong, and that's two totally different programs, but it's all right. It's a bit around Tom Delaney, which is Michael C. Hall's character. His wife has died recently of cancer, about a year ago, and he's got two daughters. One's 16, and the other one is a little bit younger, probably 13 or so. And 16-year-old goes out to a party with her boyfriend. Boyfriend ends up dying at the party, and his daughter is missing.
How does he die?
So he saw they. Well, you see, if you can persevere through the terrible accent, what it does is every episode builds on the last one. So, as Tom Delaney, Michael's character, finds out more about the night from different people, because he's following up, because the police have, you're looking at what the police are doing, and it feels like they're useless at their job because they're not investigating properly.
So
looking into things.
So it's completely realistic.
Yes. Yeah. So they're not actually chasing down leads, and not, you know, going out talking to people who, and he even mentions things, and she, his neighbour, who he's now having a relationship with, is a police detective, and she's leading the case. She's like reassuring him, let us do our job, don't want you to get in trouble, don't want the person coming after you who killed the boy. And then in the mix, you've also got where this party was held, it's a house party at this rich kid's house. As usual, they got a bit of a swimming pool, and the boy was found face down in the swimming pool. So whether or not he was killed and then chucked in, or if he was drowned, or you don't know at that point.
Okay.
Which you do find out, and as they start to show more in every episode, I think there's only 8 episodes, each episode it does build, so you sort of get a little bit piece a little bit more here, a little bit more here, and as things start coming together, he finds out what's actually gone on, what's led up to him dying, and what's led up to his daughter essentially hiding or running away, and who she's ended up with before he you know, finds her. So I don't want to say too much, really, because it would give it away, because they do, once he finds out something, they do a little flashback of what the people have told him and what he sort of found out up until that point, so it puts it into perspective for you.
Okay.
So it puts it all into a nice little VT for you to understand what he's just uncovered.
Okay.
As he's going through it.
Just a quick one. I'm a little worried because of a story that you told me before you started the podcast in regards to this, because we're talking about subjects and bits. And you told me a story to which I was like, is it good? Or tell me about why I might have an issue with this. You fell asleep.
Did I?
You fell asleep and started dreaming.
Oh no, I wasn't watching this.
Oh, you made out that you're watching this. I thought you were.
This was last night.
I thought you were watching that.
No, I was talking to you about to you about me being under the weather.
Oh, we I thought watching wait, TV. We were talking.
I can't remember what I was watching.
No, yeah, I thought you were watching Safe because what it made it sound like that you were watching Safe, and then halfway through Safe, you fell asleep, started dreaming about the program to which you were filling in the plot holes, and had developed an entirely different story. And your wife was watching you snort and kind of like move about as you were dreaming.
No. We'd finished talking about Safe and then I went on about I'm not under the weather and we were watching something on TV that I can't remember what it was. But then midway through whatever we were watching, I started to see other things and I realised actually I'm fucking sleeping because that's not in the programme. These people aren't even... And I woke up to my wife looking at me going, tired then, are you? This is only yesterday. We finished watching Safe a few days ago. And yes, I still am under the weather.
Okay, all right. Hey. Just so Safe. Be honest.
Do you know what? You got to do your four...
Watch a pass.
Four-episode rules, mate.
Four-episode rule. Ah, oh, fucking quite my
rules.
You've
got to look past that. He's literally... He's the only one with a bit of a dodgy accent.
Yeah,
if you can, I found it funny at first because I'm so used to him in Dexter. Once you get past it, yeah.
See, the thing with his Dexter accent in the TV show was, it just had a twang of American in there. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a full blown, rich American accent. It just had a twang of American accent in there. So
yeah, and this has got a twang of English in it, British English.
Oh dear.
How
can I put that bit? Because can I have a burger? Because that's the bit that got me. It was like, dude, you can afford an accent coach.
Pop a marker in, and insert any clip from his English accent that you can find.
I'll be honest.
When I say English accent, you guys know what I mean.
It's
great burgers.
What do you call it?
His British accent.
It's not like a Stephen Fry kind of accent, because that would be disturbing, actually. Okay.
No.
All right.
No, that's a bit too...
So it's worth...
Dude, if he turned round and he was speaking like the same accent as the King of England, then I'd be a bit... Well, it's not quite right, mate. Not for that area. But everything else, if you look past the accent, if you can pull yourself to get past that accent, you've got to do the full episode rule, and then you'll see what I mean by how things start to fall into place as he's uncovering things. And he uncovers things not just in the present, but also what's happened in the past, which has contributed, I say in the past, like 30 years in the past, which has contributed to... what's happening at the present.
Okay.
Because things were found out and... Yeah. So, it's worth a watch if you've got Netflix. If you can watch it and get past the accent, I think it's worth it. They do pull things together quite nicely into a neat little bow at the end, which you do like. You love a little bow on the end of a thing, so it all pulls together and ties up nicely.
Yeah, I do.
So, it's worth it.
Okay. All right.
I don't think they could do a second season. Let's be honest, because they tie it all up.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our trailer watch.
Trailer watch.
We used to do this in a previous existence, especially around this time of year when trailers start just popping out left, right, and centre.
Who are you? Do you speak? I won't hurt you. What's your name?
The first trailer I saw this week was Bumblebee. And I was quite surprised because I watched it and went, that doesn't look that bad, actually. And usually the Transformers ones, I watch it and go, ugh. Since I think it was Dark of the Moon.
Bit too explodey.
Yeah, it's a bit like kind of this... like having ADHD without having ADHD. I think that's the trick for the Transformers
Dark Side
film.
Of the Moon.
It's yeah.
Remind me, is that the one with I've forgotten his name.
Pink Floyd. Dark of the Moon. It's not called Dark Side of the Moon. It's Dark of the Moon. It's,
oh, is it?
Yeah, it's got Leonard Nimoy in it as the bad guy for all intents and purposes.
I'm trying to remember the. Is it Mark Wahlberg?
No, it's not got Mark Wahlberg. It's the last Shia LaBeouf one.
No, that Mark Wahlberg's the new one.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I haven't seen a single Mark Wahlberg one. Just not. I like.
I've seen the Mark Wahlberg one, but I don't remember this one.
Do you know what really was really bad? Is I actually like the soundtracks. They got some like really kind of, because I like having like background music when I'm working. So it's something I can't concentrate on, but something I'll enjoy. And I like the soundtracks. So I haven't watched the films, but I can say I like the soundtracks. Soundtrack's worth a listen to if you like kind of film score kind of music to keep you busy. Work by, that's good. But I saw the trailer, it was quite good, because the first thing was that Bumblebee was a beetle like he was in the cartoon, which I really fucking appreciated. And
yeah, he was,
he didn't look so,
they've taken him right back.
Yeah, he didn't look so like higgledy piggledy part wise like they do in the Transformers films. You know, they look like they're made of a billion parts, and if you push them over they'd probably, if you hit them they would probably fall apart, and don't look very well engineered. But he doesn't look like that. He looks quite solid. It looks like he could actually take a good battering in it. And they've got Starscream in there as a bad guy. It's an F4 Phantom, which is wrong because he should be an F-15 Eagle. And he's got like the red. He's got the red bits around the engine bits like he has in the cartoon. And that looks fucking fabulous. I'm hoping he upgrades to a to an F-15. But that looks
to make
good.
It more accurate.
Yeah, yeah. And also they got what's his mush? John Cena, the wrestler's in there, and he looks like he's the bad guy, which should be interesting. And then you've got I like the Rick Astley reference in there, which he puts the tape.
Oh, never
Rick
gonna
Astley,
give you up.
Which was used in all those Rick rolls. Do you remember that back in like 2009? I think everyone was Rick rolling everyone. Where it's like, watch this new trailer to Bumblebee, and then the Rick Roll thing would come on. Yeah, so they put Rick Astley in there, which
is him dancing to Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it starts to play, the girl starts chuckling away, and he spits it out.
Yeah. Almost taking her head off.
Spits the tape out.
Almost taking her head off, mind you.
Yeah.
That's a bit dangerous.
Yeah, because he didn't really appreciate it. Yeah, so it's... Yeah, it looks interesting, and it also gives you... Is this more of an origin story to Bumblebee?
No, I just think it's a Bumblebee story. Because if it's an origin story, it'd be on Cybertron. That's an easy way of describing it. It'd be on Cybertron. So, it's not really... It's like kind of, I think it's... Cybertron's just it's the homeworld of the Transformers. It's actually supposed to be... The thing that gets me in the thing is... Cybertron is smaller than Earth. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Decepticons complain that Earth seems positively flat in comparison to Cybertron, because they can fly all the way around Cybertron in one like go, which they can't do around Earth.
Okay.
That's a little thing, a little fucking nitpicky thing that I noticed. But
okay,
they made it massive, which, you know, whatevs. But this one looks like it could be interesting. I'll wait for the second trailer to see if, you know, it's worth an actual look at. It looks okay, which is odd.
Is it a different director?
I think it might be a different director. I think it's the guy who did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one.
Travis Knight.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Travis Knight is doing it. It's based in 1987.
Yeah. Just a year after the... I think it was a year after the Transformers, the movie cartoon, which was fucking awesome.
So it does sound like it's meant to be more of a... Well, not quite an origin story, because otherwise they'd show how he got out of his home planet and came over, wouldn't he? But maybe an Earth origin story. Because she obviously says... In the later film, if in the films we have seen, they show Bumblebee communicating by changing the radio to whatever's playing or a tape, and he'll play certain things from the tape or whatever, won't he, to talk to people.
Yeah.
And then she suggests that. She says, why don't you use this to communicate what you want to say?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in my mind, it could be how things kick off. For
does come him. Across as a bit of a pussy.
Just like, yeah, as soon as he saw her, he's hiding in a corner, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's like kind of... Yeah, Bumblebee wasn't that. He was not the bravest of Transformers, but he wasn't... He didn't back down until he was murdered in the Maybe. Transformers the movie film, was he? No, he wasn't. He was one of the ones that survived, actually. He wasn't dropped into a giant vat of acid.
Wasn't Bumblebee turned into like a Camaro or something?
Yeah, yeah, in the new one.
To make him look cooler, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about...
I don't know, I quite like him as a VW.
Yeah. Well, he was originally a VW Beetle. The next one is Into the Spider-Verse. Around
this time. I know it's complicated. Just had to cut my soul to freedom. You want to know what happened to you? I can teach you to be Spider-Man. I love this burger. So delicious.
An animation one. Now, the style that you're using for the animation just looks like it's got wrong frame rates on it. I've watched it on several devices to make sure it wasn't my fucking device. It's not. There's something off about the frame rate. It's really jarring, but it looks really interesting at the same time. It's set in a parallel universe where Peter Parker isn't the only person to have been bitten by said radioactive spider. Yeah. And it includes Spider-Gwen, who's supposed to be a joke, along with Gwenpool, who's also supposed to be a joke, and Miles Morales, who is a serious character. The downside to this is that if they do it right, Peter Parker's going to die fighting... what's his name? Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, in his ultimate form.
Oh, okay.
Which is like that. And then Miles Morales then takes over after seeing what fucking fight he put up. And he's like, shit, if I can be a half of that, then I'd be something. Which is... It's not a spoiler warning, you just pick up the comic. Which is it going to be good? The Gwen Stacy bit in there. Yeah, I don't know why she's in there. Kind of pull the attention from Miles Morales.
As a spider bird.
Yeah, because Miles Morales. Where I was looking at it when we had the Marvel films and they were talking about getting Spider-Man in there. Miles Morales being from like a parallel universe where he got bitten instead of Peter Parker could have been their way of having Spider-Man. It was like a really cheaty way of having Spider-Man, so they could get a Spider-Man without actually have to go into the whole spider thing. It's like, this isn't Peter Parker. Because yeah, no, there's another guy who got bit, and he was a reasonably good character too. Apart from that, certain people fuck around with bits on it, but it looks funny. Peter Parker doesn't seem like the responsible adult he is. Which I don't like.
He doesn't. No, they showed him in a calf, munching away on burger, dropping food everywhere. You know, a bit like I don't know how to describe it. Like a skater. Yeah, man.
He was a bit. He was of a stoner.
But he's meant to be intelligent, isn't he?
Yeah, he is supposed to be intelligent. Sorry, he's supposed to be intelligent. I said no. Came across as a bit of a stoner. It's not Peter Parker's character. When Doc Ock was fucking possessing him, he wasn't like that. It's odd that they're
up until that point. Yeah, I think so. And I don't know it as well as you. I barely know. I know from what I've seen in the previous films. I know this is a different universe, as it were. However, I would have still expected Spider-Man to behave like the people have shown before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know it's supposed to be a different take on it, but similar. See, the thing is that it's something they did during the Star Wars film, which we can talk about later, is where they really don't like fucking white male characters. So they dumb them down and make them look stupid. And I'm worried that they've done that with Peter Parker in this trailer. But because the thing is, then that looks like Morales took over with ease rather than actually earned it, if that made sense. It was given to him. And that's not good either. Because if it was a case of Peter Parker was like Peter Parker is, yeah, where he's got some morals behind him. He will do the right thing when pushed. And he's not a slob, you know. Well, he is in the comic books when he was a teenager, maybe a bit of a slob, but he wasn't like that. And I'm worried that they've dumbed that character down, and then they made Spider-Gwen, who is a joke character. Yeah, Spider-Gwen is supposed to be like a joke character. It's like kind of, oh, what happens if Gwen Stacy was bitten rather than Spider-Man? Yeah, because they did, what happens if Miles Morales, who was in the same class as him, was bitten? Yeah. And then Gwen Stacy, and then it looks like they try to make her look like she's like, kind of, oh, she can, you know, beat the boys and stuff. But again, is that the case of you dumbing down the character to make another character look good? Because that's not how you do it. Yeah, you do it, you keep the character at the same level, and then you do something extraordinary for the other character to do it, but believable at the same time too. Just a bit. Yeah, a little worried about that in regards to that, which means there may be some shit politics working its way in. But it looks interesting. Could his be. Dad, the dad in the trailer, was great. What a fucking great character. He drives his kid to school in the police car. And it's like, kind of, aren't you getting arrested?
Don't you run red lights? And he goes, some don't. He goes, some do, but not this guy.
Yeah.
As he's sitting there while at the red light with his son in the car and his son's friends on the outside, his schoolmates, looking in going, oh, he's been arrested.
And then he leaves.
And then he over the tannoy when he drops him off at school saying, you're meant to say I love you back.
And it's so like,
go on.
And it's like going, I'm not leaving until you say it like that. That's I like that. That puts a smile on my face.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I want to hear it.
You want to hear me say it?
I love you, Dad.
You're dropping me off out of school?
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
I'm just a bit worried that, as I say, they've dumbed down the Peter Parker character. So we'll look at that Spider-Man, because that wasn't even close to Spider-Man. But that means that if they've done that,
first look, it's not.
That may mean that instead of giving him the kind of hero's death that he got in the Ultimate Comics, he's just going to go out like a punk, which is worrying. So, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
It's weird. The Bumblebee trailer I was fine with, but that's not. And then we've got Lego Movie 2 trailer.
A lifetime has passed since the horrific events of Taco Tuesday. Our lives descended into chaos. This new life has toughened and hardened us all.
Two copies, please. One black, one with just a touch of cream and 25 sugars.
Yes.
That was awesome. that was good.
I see what you did there.
Yes, you see what I did there. That was good. I like that. It was entertaining. It looks okay. I'm hoping again that politics haven't crept in there again. Because it's like kind of... Oh, I did all... It was like the bit where the bad person comes down from the Sisterverse, or whatever it is, yeah? And she's like, so you did all the fighting and he took all the credit. And it's like kind of... Well, yeah. if you paid attention to the actual film, he risked falling into... and dying by falling into the infinite abyss of nothingness. And then he came back and you had to fucking kick ass. And then save the day. Because your kick ass...
Yeah,
things weren't enough, I'm afraid. And that kind of fucked me off too. Because again, it's if he would have been doing something stupid like talking to the plant as they were chatting away, or something along those lines. But it's again, it's the denigration of one character. I'm getting annoyed. I think it's I think I'm thinking about the Spider-Man film, and it's like I want to see the story where Peter Parker dies in the most fucking heroic fashion ever. I'll send you the link, because some guy did, I can't remember his name now, he read through the comic but in a dramatic fashion, and the story is fucking brilliant. And I'll let you watch it on YouTube, and you can tell that.
Yeah. Well, we're getting back to Lego Movie 2, because let's not dwell too much on that.
Yeah, I think I'm getting a little angry over Spider-Man now. Think about it. It's actually starting to grate on me a bit. I'm not happy with it.
Do you think with the new big bad in this is going to be? You remember the big bad in the last one was Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I've forgotten his name. He was the dad. Mr. Business or whatever.
Lord Business.
Yeah. Was representative of his. Yeah, Lord Business was to represent his dad, not allowing him to play.
Mm.
And then at the end of the last film, you heard his dad say, "Oh, maybe we'll let your sister down here next time." Do you think now his sister's playing and it's interfering with everything that Emmett wants to do?
The kid
because wants to... some of the bits, she seems younger, but one of them was, you know, where they came down, they're looking through binoculars and stuff at whatever came down from the sky, and then they shoot something at Emmett and Wildstar, and it's a little heart.
Yes.
And it hits the wall below them, and they look at it, and it says something. The little heart says it has a little face on it. It says something really cute. I can't remember what it was, but it says something really cute, and then they run, and it explodes. And so that made me think, it must be the little sister. Must be the little sister now joining in the game.
I think it's. I do think that's the case. That is the story of the little sister. She's learned how to build things properly now, rather than playing with Duplo.
Yeah,
which was the Duplo invasion.
It was a Duplo invasion, wasn't it, last time? Yeah.
But it's knowing how that story's going to go.
It's not until next year.
Yeah, I think I'll wait for a review on that one because of Spider-Man. Apart from, I do want to see what the dad's going to be like in that.
It's the Lonely Bus. We told you. Why are you here?
I had a run-in with a space alien.
Another thing that was, it was shown at, I think it was the NBA Finals, but it was a teaser or a trailer for The Predator, which is the latest Predator film, and it shows what they refer to as the upgrade, which the Predator in the first film was about 7 foot tall, yeah? So quite a big fucker. This bastard is 10 foot tall. 10 foot tall, fucking towering Predator, and what he's doing apparently is it's stealing bits of DNA from species and improving itself so it can cope in environments and hunt better. And the other predators are trying to stop it along with a load of people. Which sounds interesting. I'll have to wait until someone says that it is okay before I see it. But the idea of a 10 foot fucking tall predator is pretty badass. Fucking imagine Arnie fighting that bastard.
Yeah, he doesn't have... I remember one of the main weapons of a predator was the shoulder cannon thing.
He probably has got
with
a shoulder cannon.
The laser guided.
He's probably got a shoulder
probably
cannon.
Probably hidden somewhere.
He's probably got that. Yeah. But he's been adapting. He doesn't have to wear the mask.
He's still got wrist things.
Yeah, at the moment he doesn't have to wear the mask because he's adapted himself to our atmosphere. Which looks cool. Talking of things
it's
that...
out in September.
Out in September, oh, cool. And talking of things that are supposed to be cool and currently isn't cool. Star Wars, for the last two films, and it's the first time in Star Wars history that it has flopped at the cinema to the dismay of people. Solo flopped at the cinema. They reckon it's going to lose anything between $80 million and $50 million in total. So they pissed away $80 million and didn't make a fucking penny back. Because they just... the people in charge didn't know what they were doing.
Well, so I've read so many times that from many different places, articles, wherever I've read, read a little story about, you know, this, and also about this Kennedy person that you're going to mention. People commenting that, well, I didn't bother watching Solo because I was burnt by The Last Jedi.
Yeah. And
I thought, well, that echoes how you felt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've not gone out of my way to go watch it because The Last Jedi didn't really do the story's justice, in my opinion. So,
if
you didn't want to... Yeah, didn't do anything to the story. I've fucked around with pre-established characters and changed the way they behaved, and just to serve a narrative.
Well, it doesn't help that the people behind the scenes have been saying stupid things on Twitter, like Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson, who was the director of The Last Jedi, was just dismissing the fans. Yeah, turns around and goes, "I'm going to make a film that's going to piss off 50% of the fans. Why make it? Why the fuck would you make it?
Yeah,
let's kill my bit. Let's kill the business. Yeah, let's drill a hole in the bottom of this boat. Yeah, right. It's let's drop a toaster into the bath while I'm sitting in it." Sort of thing. It's just stupid. And then you've got Lawrence Kasdan's son, I can't remember his name now, saying things like that Lando's pansexual, which is just dumb.
You said who's what sexual?
Lando Calrissian is pansexual, which means...
What the fuck does pansexual mean?
Means he'll fuck anything, be it, he meant in the term of robots, but it also covers bestiality and paedophilia. Big fucking mistake. That probably put a lot of fucking people off. The fact that that Kathleen Kennedy, who was in charge of Star Wars, fired Lord Miller when they were almost finished Solo. So instead of doing the more sensible thing and checking, you know, what they were doing within like the first couple of months of filming and checking all the footage and stuff, and then saying, "Look, guys, I think you're missing the tone." She waited until right to the end, so she practically doubled the fucking production costs in one go. One of the reasons the movie is losing it. And then you've got things like J.J. Abrahams complaining about white people. And you're given all of this stuff here, and it's like, kind of, we'll forgive you if the film's good, yeah? So we forgave you because the film for the Force Awakens wasn't great, but it was good, yeah. So we liked it. So you get a pass on that. But when the film is shit, you ain't get no fucking passes. Yeah. And this is what I reckon has happened. Yeah, I reckon she was fired after the first weekend of Solo. So the moment they did, because they've got like a weird calculation that they do to tell if they're gonna make the money back, they can figure it out the first weekend, yeah. So they looked at the first weekend and they went, "Shit, you're gonna lose this money." And what they've done is they've quietly shuffled her off somewhere, so they've given her a leave of absence. They'll keep quiet about this until they find a replacement, and then they'll say that she's stepping down because she's seeking new opportunities elsewhere, blah blah blah, and thank you for your contribution and this, that, and the other. Rather than turn around and say, "Look, guys," to the fans, say, "Look, she screwed up. This is not what Disney intended to do with Star Wars. We really wanted what we've done with Marvel on Star Wars because it would make a shitload of cash, to be completely honest with you." She hasn't done that. She's put politics above story. And, she's gone. And we're putting Dave Filoni in charge of the creative side of it and Mr. or Mrs. X in charge of the production side of it. And then I'd go, yes, I would be happy. Because they've done something similar with the head of DC, because the head of DC has been fired too, but they've done it in a very subtle way. And then they covered up the announcement by hiring the instigator of Gamergate, Zoe Quinn, to write a novel, considering that the comics community are going through a similar kind of thing like with Gamergate. So to fuck everyone off and to draw attention away to the fact that they have fired the chief executive in charge of DC Comics, they pulled in Joey Quinn, who was responsible for Gamergate, whilst their Comics Gate is going on. Which is just fucking ridiculous. And I don't know why they did it. They should just fired her and tell her and say, look, she made some mistakes. She did good for most of the time she was here, but towards the end, she started costing us money. If you cost us money, there's a door. Nice seeing her. She'll be fine. She's loaded. Because that's the truth. She'll be fine. She'll go off to another company.
She must be loaded.
Yeah, she must be loaded.
The amount of films that she's been involved in as a producer.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, that's the...
Just looking at her thing, yeah.
But Kathleen Kennedy, it's on loads of things. The thing is that I was she just a fucking... given what she's done with Star Wars, was she just a fucking secretary? Seriously. Or did someone get to her and convince her that certain things were really good, which were absolute bullshit, and that's what ruined it in turn? But saying that, if she's gone, that means Rian Johnson's gone, and Rian Johnson wanted to do a trilogy, which I assure you no one wanted to fucking watch, given the state of The Last Jedi, and the fact that he thinks that space works like the fucking sky, and doesn't realise that if someone likes a character, we want to see the character. Oh, if Luke Skywalker's on screen, he'll draw the attention away from the other characters. Yes! Because he's Luke fucking Skywalker, and everyone wants to see him. What
he's
you should have done.
Cool.
This is what you should have done, yeah? You should have done you should have done the first Force Awakens film, then a solo Luke Skywalker film to explain where the fuck he'd been, and then you could have tied it back up and matched in with the next film. Nice and fucking easy. But no, we couldn't have that. Oh, because Luke Skywalker draws too much attention. I'm sorry, if he draws attention away from your characters are shit. Yeah? Because he's fucking awesome. Yeah? It should have been like he should be like fucking Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. We all still remember the fucking Hobbit. We still remember the fucking, you know, Meagle, Gollum. We still remember, like, kind of Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli and stuff like that. We still remember those characters.
Samwise
and Frodo, we still remember those characters because they were good characters. Yep. But we all thought that fucking Gandalf was the bollocks. Yeah? It's like kind of Gandalf's around, everything's gonna be fine. And that's why when he died in the first fucking film by the Balrog, we all went, shit, we're fucked. Yeah? And then he got to come back, he came back. He didn't draw the attention because... but, hey... Ho. So yeah, that's
but, hey, that's classic storytelling. That
is classic storytelling, and I don't get what they're doing. They got the Game of Thrones producers in there, and they sound like they're doing Knights of the Old Republic stuff, which is going to be great. Which I think I really fucking enjoy. And I hope they don't get canned, and I hope that they don't replace someone with. Someone who's doesn't understand the bottom line over politics, because we don't want to see the forces fucking feminist or this, that, and the other. And I don't want hearing if a director or someone says something against any race, white, black, fucking Martian, purple, or whatever. Yeah, goodbye. I don't care who you think you are. You're not wanted. You're a bigot of sorts. Go away. So yeah, but hey, Star Wars, you forget the next one will be done by J.J. Abrahams, then there'll be probably the big shake up. I reckon the J.J. Abrahams one will be shit, because I don't think he can direct a single fucking film. I've come to the conclusion everything that he's attached to is shit. Yeah, and Keith really loved Solo, as predicted before we fucking had the conversation. Yeah, I'm going to send you two videos after this. I'm going to send you the Red Letter Media nerd crew, who are like Keith when it comes to Star Wars, and then the Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, where Peter Parker dies, one, because that's a good one. But yeah, I'm tired and pissed off, and I've got a touch of hay fever. I don't think I've got it as bad as you because I've been taking medicine since April to stop my hay fever. Because I found that out.
Right, yeah.
You have to take it. You have to take it before the fucking. You take it a month before the hay fever season starts, and you're fine.
Well, I never get hay fever, never. And apparently yesterday was really bad, and I was stood out in the middle of nowhere in Aldershot. I was doing a driving experience day where I got to drive a few sports cars, Ferrari California, a Lamborghini, an Audi R8, a BMW i8, which is fucking fast, and what was the last one? An Aston Martin Vantage.
Yeah.
Just because. It's not as quick as the others, but it's, you know, it's an Aston.
Yes.
It's fucking British.
You have to have one.
Do you know what I mean? And so, yeah, so I was there from about 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and it's just a little track in the middle of a field with trees and grass and pollen fucking everywhere. It must have affected me. Because I've never been affected by hay fever before. And yeah, it was bloody brilliant. Got to rag the shit out of these cars. Loved it, and I didn't crash, which is even better.
Cool. Right.
I didn't want a fucking bill on my hands.
What you should have done, yeah? You should have crashed the car, but somehow, like, rolled it across the finish line. And then when it... This is how I picture you. You're going around a track, yeah? And you're like kind of, I wonder how fast I can get this. So you go around a corner and you hit like 160 into a corner. The car flips and somehow you manage to, as it's barrel rolling, you manage to turn the car and barrel roll it across the finish line, yeah? And then it flips and lands. So its wheelbase is on the ground. You open the door, put up both hands and goes, nailed it!
Meant that.
Totally. That wasn't luck. It's totally planned for.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, they were saying they catch you because they sit there and go, now you can pay £30 for a damage waiver up front. However, if you don't take that damage waiver and you drive a car without it and say you clip a curb or whatever, and it damages the alloy, or something happens to the car, you will then be liable for up to an excess of £2,500, regardless of what's happened, yeah? So it's up to £2,500, you'd have to pay the first £2,500, and I went, do you know what, I'll pay £30, just, you never know. When something might happen.
Cheeky bastards. It should be the £30 should be included. It should be, here's the price of your ticket, plus £30 waiver. Done.
Yeah, they should do that, but they get it on the day. They do it on the day.
Yeah, it's like the...
I knew about it, so I knew I was going to pay it, because it was that last one I did. But do you know, £30 just for peace of mind? Yeah.
I was going to say, that reminds me of the... the car hire in Orlando. It wasn't at the airport we landed at, it's the one that we landed at 3 years prior. And Alamo, literally knowing that everyone had been on a fucking 9-hour flight, were trying to rinse people for fucking money. It was disgusting. And I turned around and just went, I just looked at the guy when he said, oh, we need to do this, that, and the other. Goes, we've paid for everything we need to beforehand just so we can pick up the car and go. Yes? Here's all the things that we've included. Don't try and sell us anything extra. We know you. I said to him, I know you're trying to fleece us. Give us a bloody car. And he went, okay. Poor fucker.
They do that.
Well, the arsehole.
He's told to do that, isn't he?
Arsehole fucking move on behalf of a current. Anyway, we've wandered into old man's decides to have a whinge about Life Street. So I think we'll end it here.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening.
Okay.
Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you in the next podcast. Goodbye.
Yes. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch.
And stop the recording.
Yeah, stop the recording and upload it as soon as possible. Your connection to me is fucking terrible. It's like having a conversation with an old person. Because I don't think you can hear me very well.
I can see it's a bit. You're fine. I think it's probably my side.